The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Kabaza. I'm obviously not alone in the studio. I've got the ever-present Miss Lengiwe Zondo in studio with me. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Mudiwa. How are you?
No, I'm alive. I'm good. How's been your week?
My week has been challenging. Academically, business-wise, personally, it's like when everything happens, it just happens all at once, man.
I believe the young people would say that you are going through the most.
Going through the most.
Is that what's going on?
I mean, just going through the most. And I just want to say to students out there, guys, hold on. This is just a rough patch, but you just need to make sure that your grip is a little bit tighter and you'll make it through.
I like that. Anyway, for today, we are going to be talking about freelancing. This is the Business Buzz, as I said earlier on. This is the show on a Thursday where we give you the best in business and economics news, broadcasting right here from our studios in Bramfontein. So for today, we're talking about freelancing. When we talk freelancing, we're talking about the gig economy. I think nowadays it's actually become a thing, especially in 2018, where people don't have just one stream of income anymore. And for people that are not doing more than one thing, you'll find that in some cases you're not fully employed or permanently employed by an organization, but you go there, you do some work, or you do work across multiple organizations. So we're going to be talking about that. A lot of the time people tend to think of this from the media point of view, journalists and the like, but you know, I think Lengiwe can definitely tell you that, you know, people are out here hustling left, right and center.
So much more to it.
So we're going to be talking to a number of people on the show for today. We're going to be talking to the South African Freelancers Association. We're going to be talking to a financial planner around how you can actually manage your income when it comes, because, you know, I'm sure the tax implications are a bit different. And there's a lady who's actually meant to come to the studio today to school us around some of these issues. We're also going to be hearing from a couple of freelancers as they tell us what their lives are like, what it's like to, you know, do the things. So, you know, you're going to be, you know, hearing a lot from that. So that's how the show is going to be looking like for today, because on the other side of this, we're going to be getting into the business wrap for your weekly roundup of business and economics news, and then Lengiwe will be telling you the state of your 100 Rand. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you your roundup of the top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert. We have Zanele Kunene from BDO Wealth Advisors on the line. How are you, Zanele?
I'm feeling like 209 billion rand. I think we all should, as South Africans, we all should, because when the pledge was made at the investment summit, it was made to all of us, because those funds will be used, you know, to fund the necessary infrastructure that will help revive our economy. So we should all be feeling this way. But to start us off tonight, I thought we could speak about the rand.
Yeah.
And after hearing such great news from the investment summit, you know, we would expect that the rand would be rallying on. But it weakened on Wednesday morning. And this was due to the fall in bond prices. Well, not bond prices, but the fall in local bonds. And this was due to, actually, let me just paint a picture for you real quickly. For the past 8 months, the primary dealing orders have been at about 7.4 billion. So that's how much orders have been put in. And now the orders that have been put in are about 4.1 billion. So that shows that from 7 to 4, there's been a huge decline from investors, you know, placing orders within our local bonds. And what this shows us is that investors are not convinced that government is committed to the type of discipline needed to really get our fiscal position on a sustainable growth. And it also shows that a lot of them weren't really encouraged by the midterm budget speech that took place last month. So it's not quite encouraging. But I just want to ask, so the rand will be at about 14.50 to about 14.80, and that's also worrying because we are almost at 15 rand,
yeah.
You know. So, Madhura, I just want to know from you, what do you think Moody is going to think about us, considering our shrinking economy, considering our unemployment rate, and also considering this local bond news that I just said? What do you think Moody is going to say?
I think the market is inclined to think that Moody's is probably going to downgrade us. I'm also, you know, along, you know, the same, you know, same thinking, particularly given some of the, because I think over the last year, growth expectations and the growth, growth numbers have been cut a number of times. I think we started off at like, 1.9% expected at the start of the year, and then it went down to 1.5. And then I think the last number I heard, they expect us to grow by only, 0.9% or something like that. So I think, yeah, so all of that together with, a weakening rand, I think that's gonna play into it, and then just some of the political issues, I think, as well, might also be
that
doing
is so true.
Some disfavor.
It does affect what Moody will think, because in the speech they said something, in the statement that they released, they said something very similar to what you said. And what they're saying when they project for South Africa, they said that what they see is higher government debt, they see slower growth, they see a weaker rand, and they see a higher interest rate. And the Reserve Bank will be reviewing our interest rate next year sometime. And I just want to touch on the budget deficit, because we are currently at about 4%, and Moody did forecast that we'd be at 4% for the 2018 to 2019 year. And a budget deficit means that the government is spending more money than it is generating revenue. So what money are we spending? We're spending borrowed funds, you know, and we are borrowing in dollars. So can you imagine how, coupled with a weaker rand, how much our debt is increasing by, you know, just by that exchange rate, it's also increasing by that, not only how much funds we've borrowed. But a weaker rand to you and I also means that it's going to push the prices of imports up. It's going to push a lot of prices up. And this year, actually, we've seen petrol increase every month, every time. And I know that it's going to be increasing again. So it is quite worrying considering a weaker rand.
Yeah.
But the trade balance, I'm so sorry to be talking so quickly. but the trade balance for September also came out.
Yeah.
And what that shows is that we have a trade deficit, a trade balance deficit of about 2.9 billion. And this is very worrying as well, because in August we had a trade surplus of about 8.8 billion. So the trade balance just shows us how much compares our exports to our imports.
Yeah.
So in August we exported more than we imported. So people were buying what it is we're producing. But now in August, in September, we have imported more than we've exported. So we are spending more money again.
Yeah.
So that's also quite worrying. But what I'm really hoping for is that government does really take the tough decisions that are needed, and they do use the funds that we currently have and what it is we have been able to get, and we use it wisely to ensure that, you know, we revive the economy and we decrease that government debt.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Zanele. But before you go, very quickly, for our listeners, because today is already the 1st of November, so the year is pretty much done. Are there any other, can I say, major announcements that we should be looking out for that are left for this year, whether it's interest rates, whether and the like? Is there anything left for the year, or are we just going to be riding it out now?
I think there could be a couple of things coming up, looking at the fact that the elections are coming up in about a year's time. So I think we will be seeing some other summits and a lot of commentary or other summits actually happening, just to speak on how will we survive, how will we fix our economy. So in terms of actual statements coming out, in terms of things like Moody and other investment things, I'm not too sure, but we'll look out for those things.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. That was us on the line. We were with Zanele Kunene. She is our financial expert, just giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big story at the moment is we're talking rand weakness, and the rand is actually looking towards the 14.50 to the dollar range, and we see that that might be impacting Moody's credit rating decision, which is set to come in the coming weeks. They said that they were waiting for the midterm budget. The midterm budget has come and gone, so we're just waiting for an announcement from them. And then the other thing you heard is that our trade balance at the moment is in the negative, meaning that South Africa is importing more than it is exporting. So that's it in terms of the business wrap. On the other side of this, Hlengi was going to be telling us the state of your 100 rand. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
We are back on the Business Buzz, and for today we are talking along the lines of freelancing. But before we get into our main discussion, Hlengi is just going to let us know what 100 rand means for you today on the 1st of November 2018. Talk to us.
Okay, so the state of your 100 rand today is looking very creative.
I like that.
So most freelancers, they operate on a lean business model for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they are without costs. You know, so costs associated with freelancing that impact almost every freelancer in that space includes equipment and tools, taxes and insurance, marketing and promotion of their services, legal and accounting. Because at the end of the day, that still applies to them. Training and their own training and development, as well as a few additional hidden costs like transportation and all these other things.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be exploring a few of those costs, but we're going to be honing in specifically on tools and equipment. So we'll start off with just, you know, something that's kind of like standard for somebody who's in this age, which is the desktop computer. And if you're in the creative space, I've been told that Apple,
yeah,
you know, products are designed for such.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I'm here to test it out myself.
That's okay.
So I'm just going to take their word for it until I get to that level. So so an Apple MacBook Pro is available from takealot.com at 21,799 rand. So that's 217 buffaloes.
Wow.
So you have to look at it as an investment. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're never going to go that route. And then you have software, and depending on the services, obviously, that you're providing, whether it be, writing or designing or different things that you could be possibly doing, you would pay for those in terms of subscription, and have like, upgrades that you do, irregularly. And then these, for example, include Photoshop, which starts at around 145 rand per month, which is just like 1.4 buffaloes.
Yeah.
And then if you want, you need to be connected to the world. So high speed internet connection, there's various providers, but we just sampled one, and that's Vodacom, with 100 gigabytes of the option is available per month for 599 rand. So that's just six buffaloes.
Yeah.
And then you have websites, hosting and email, so people can get to know about you. And from AfriHost, that's available at 39 rands per month. And then in terms of, you know, you can have like stock accounts where you have access to like photos, vectors and other tools that make it easy for you in your creative process, so you don't have to start from scratch. And you can open an account with like the likes of Envato, which have a $16 per month option, which is around 233 rands per month. And then for just, you know, ease in terms of, you know, printing, scanning or copying, you can have that all in one machine to save space. And Hi-Fi Corp has that one machine that's available for 599 rands as well. So that's six buffaloes. And then you can't do this in the air, so I would think that you would need a desk and some physical tools, such as a good chair, because that's very important when you need to, you know, have your creative juices flowing, your papers and pens. So, respectively, with regards to the desk, 1,900 rand for one and 1,700 rand for a good chair. It take a lot, and you can save like 300 rand for the balance of the items. And then in terms of a work phone, so that you get stay connected to the outside world and your client base, and prospective clients, and all, you know, whoever's within your ecosystem.
Yeah.
So, and that is available. You can go from like entry level smartphone that can do basic things that you needed to be done. So there's a Samsung Galaxy Grand Prime Pro that's available for 2,000 rands, all the way to an iPhone X, which is available at 20,000 rands.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yes.
Yes.
So that would be your starting point if you want to go into this freelancing design space.
So you heard it, that sling you were giving us, the freelancer starter kit.
Yes. Starter kit, baby.
which one of these items would you start with?
I want a MacBook Pro. That's all I want. If anybody's listening, I need a MacBook Pro.
Those are beautiful machines.
Oh, fam.
They do the things.
What do the things, fam?
Yeah.
You know, you're connected with the right people.
No, soon.
Thank you.
Soon. Don't worry. It's coming.
Thank you.
It's coming. Yes.
I receive.
Speaking into your life.
I receive.
But that was us with our Buffalo Index, giving you what your 100 rand is worth today. Clearly, we're just telling you what the starter kit looks like for a freelancer. But on the other side of this, we're going to be getting into some real freelancing and hearing how the professionals are doing it and how they are managing all the things that they are. So on the other side of this, we get into our main discussion.
You're tuned in to the Business Bus.
We are talking freelancing today on the Business Buzz Show. If you're a freelancer, you know, let us know what your experience has been. If you're thinking about getting into freelancing, let us know on hashtag Business Buzz. As we start today's conversation, we posed a question to the public, and one of our producers, that's Welcome, actually went out to the streets and found out what the life of a freelancers actually like. So, you know, this is what the people, you know, had to say. But before I get into that, I just need to bring Klingiwe in here very quickly and just ask, do you freelance? Is this a thing in your life? Have you ever done it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a born entrepreneur.
Oh,
and
wow, okay. You know, that is the quotable for today. Yes.
Mic drop. I don't know if that's a mic drop. I wanted to get to a place where that is just it's an option for people, and it's an avenue that people can explore. I mean, we heard that, you know, unemployment is sitting at 27%. It's increased to 27% nationally.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need people to develop their own skill sets and, you know, think about what it is that they can, what value they can add within the economy, and not be afraid to you know, to whether or not, in terms of whether they're going to have opportunities availed to them.
Okay.
So yeah.
Somewhere, you know, in this show, perhaps at the end, I'll let you know, because I'm also, you know.
Yes, I know. That's so true.
I'll let you know what my experience
in the creative visual space. Yes, we want to hear about that later.
Yeah, but for now, let's hear what all of you had to say.
I think a couple of things are important in the freelance space. The number one thing is you need to know what your niche is and where you can add value. And you've got to literally push everything you can into that, because there's 100 other people doing what you're doing. And so you need to find that niche and make sure that you do it well. The second thing is, when approaching clients for potential work that you can be working with, the thing I've learned is that just to go in and offer one thing is often not enough. And so to really diversify is important. Figure out what is a couple of different skill sets that you can pull together and produce an offering, so that when you go in and offering something to a client, you're offering them three times more what the average person is offering, and you're leveraging some of your contacts, networks around that. And then lastly, it's important to make sure that you're around others who are in that space also, that you can bounce ideas off not other people who are kind of going to be critical of you or not share stuff because they're seen as competitive, or you're seen as a competitor, but pretty much people who are going to bounce ideas with you and help you be creative.
I'm Melanie van Steyl, and I'm a fresh freelancer. I started freelancing just under 6 months ago, and I think a big thing of advice, or maybe just an observation, is that there's definitely work out there. You got to work harder, and you've got to work much smarter. But an encouraging thing is that there's stuff out there. There's work out there. People are encouraging, and it's an inspiring space. I've really enjoyed having my own time and having my own schedule. There are challenges to that as well. You've got to navigate things a lot more carefully, and schedule in time for yourself. It can be exhausting because it tends to be bigger blocks of work and then bigger blocks of nothing. As I say quite often, it's feast or famine. And download Wave. Wave is a really, really great admin, online admin tool for invoicing, accounting, and it's free.
My name is Tegan. I'm a freelance travel photojournalist. I went freelance last year, November, so that's almost a year ago, maybe about 10 months ago. And I honestly cannot recommend it enough. If you're thinking of taking the plunge and taking the chance, and you have this sort of scratchy feeling in the back of your mind that you really, you know, you could do it, you could make it, you could be better or happier out there, then you have to follow through and see where that leads. And if it doesn't work out, there's always the option of returning back to the corporate stable, steady income. But I absolutely guarantee you that you will not want to. Once you've gone freelance and you've experienced the sort of sense of control over your life, over your time, over your clients, over your style, it just carries on blooming from there. There's absolutely no looking back. So what I found was the first few months were very tough financially, and it still is now. You can't really predict your income flow. Some months is really good, some months is really bad. So what really helped with me was separating my business and my personal bank accounts and attempting to pay myself some sort of salary each month, which, you know, sometimes doesn't work out, but sometimes does. And just really forecasting as far ahead as possible with your budget. Just try and, like, you know, brace yourself for future months where you might not get as much work as you are currently getting.
Also, what I found to be very important is being able to say no. As funny as that is, most of the time, based on my experience, you find that as a freelancer, a lot of people tend to want to give you less than what you deserve or less than what you ask for, promising you stuff like exposure and that kind of a thing. So when you feel that it does not align with your goal or your vision, then it is very important to know which type of opportunity to reject and which ones to work a bit more on.
The Business Buzz. So we just heard from some freelancers just around what their experience has been, you know, in the industry. But for now, we're going to switch over to the association that actually represents freelancers in South Africa. They're actually called SAFRIA. That is the South African Freelancers Association. Just so that we can hear what life is like from a freelance point of view, what the industry itself looks like. And most interestingly, we're actually quite keen to hear what type of professions actually fall under what's considered to be freelance right now in South Africa. So on the line, we are joined by Thabiso Shabalala, who is the spokesperson for the South African Freelancers Association. How are you, Thabiso? Hello? We seem to be having...
Hello?
Oh, yes, he's there on the line. How are you, Thabiso?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. As we begin our discussion, please could you just tell us what the general mood and sentiment seems to be in South Africa just around freelancing, and how prevalent really is it as a way to structure your professional life?
Okay, so there's actually very little data on freelancing in South Africa. So what SAFRIA has done for the last 2 years is produced a freelance media industry and rates report to help provide more insight into this growing sector. So some of the highlights from this are that women dominate the freelance sector with more than 67% female respondents. And the sector does also tend to be older, with over 80% of respondents being above the age of 30. So, yeah, there isn't much data, and that is what Safria is trying to do, is to compile this data so that each year we have more respondents and we're able to then give a broader highlight of what is happening within the freelance industry.
Tabiso, it's Tlengiwe here. Yeah. I just wanted to find out, how does one decide whether to be a freelancer or operate as a business, or is a freelancer also a business?
So a freelancer is, in essence, a business, but the downside to that is you have to focus on the job as the freelancer, as well as the administrative side of being a freelancer. So if, let's say, you're a graphic designer, you have to focus on giving your clients what it is that they want out of your graphic design skill, but then you also have to focus on the business side of things, so your things like tax, insurance, things like that. So, you know, as a freelancer, you look at yourself as a business, but you focus on the specified skill that you need to focus on.
And I think another thing is about freelancing, you know, I think we need an explanation of the freelancing in the industries that, you know, that tend to use this model.
So some examples of freelancers could include journalists, photographers, graphic designers, PR professionals, but also you find that actors are also freelancers, unless you are categorized as a full-time employee and you're employed by someone, then the work that you do could be classified as freelancing.
Tabiso, in terms of Safria now, just switching over to the body, what type of services do you guys actually provide? Earlier on, you alluded to the fact that there's very little data around what the industry looks like, and that you guys have actually started compiling surveys and reports. So what else are you guys involved in?
Okay, so what we also do is we provide members with resources, tools, and training that helps strengthen the freelance careers. And then we also, in that freelance report, we do have what the general minimum rates are. So for a newcomer in the freelance industry, you are then able to compare what your peers are charging, and then you ensure that you don't overcharge or undercharge yourself. And we also have members' work, which is featured by way of our publicly available members' directory, as well as on all our social media platforms. So we do also have the Safria Spotlight, which features and showcases our talented members' work, which happens every Wednesday. That's some of what we do.
Sorry to cut you off very quickly. I just wanted to, you know, interject on what you were saying just now.
Sure.
But as a collective, is there some type of, I don't want to use the word bargaining power, because you mentioned the fact that you guys help with rates and stuff like that. How do you guys actually make sure that things like that are enforced? I think that's a better question to ask, because the nature of freelancers is that they tend to be independent. So if you find that a freelancer, for example, isn't being paid at the rate that they are, is there anything that you guys can do on their behalf, or does the person sort of have to stick it out on their own?
So the freelancer would have to speak it out on their own, because Safria only advocates and supports freelance workers within mainly the communications field. And there are resources such as articles which do help you with things like how to deal with difficult clients or invoicing and things like that. So in the members-only forum, you are then able to ask questions of how you dealt with a specific situation, and someone can give you what they've gone through, which then leads you to follow that path, which can help you get the help that you need. But Safria in itself does not have that kind of power for the members of Safria.
And do you have any advice around how people can make the most of their careers as freelancers?
I would say to anyone that would like to become a freelancer is that you should recognize that you're running a business and that you are a business owner.
Mm.
So don't just take what you do and think that it's something that you can do for free or for exposure, as seen with the recent Med Clinic competition where they asked for photographers to submit photographs without any remuneration. As a freelancer, you rely on your skill and your talent to put food on the table, to pay your taxes, and to live, and to realize that exposure is not going to do that for you. So you need to see yourself as a business and how you are going to survive as a business. And also, you never stop learning. Each year, within each industry that is within the Safria umbrella, things are constantly changing. When you look at things like social media that is constantly evolving, things like Bitcoin, which are also coming in, you know, if you constantly learn and keep up with what is happening around you, then you can definitely make a successful career of freelancing.
Thank you so much, Thabiso. That was Thabiso Tshabalala from South African Freelancers Association, the spokesperson there.
Thank you so much.
Very interesting thoughts coming through from there. I think, you know, the interesting one for me was just when he said, you need to recognize that you're a business.
You're a business. You're a business. So you got to think like what?
Yeah.
Bottom line.
But yeah, that was us on the line with Tabi. So on the other side of this, we want to know, once you have the money, how do you actually deal with the money? And we actually have an expert.
I'd love to have that question. Once you have the money.
You want those problems.
Those are the kind of problems I want.
That
to,
you want.
Once you have the money, I'm like, yes, I want to be answering those questions.
So on the other side of this, we have Wusi in studio, and she's going to tell us whether or not we really want to have that money and how we're going to be dealing with it. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
We're talking freelancing today on The Business Buzz. We just came from talking to Thabiso Tshabalala, who is the spokesperson of the South African Freelancers Association, giving us some thoughts around the actual freelancing landscape in South Africa and some of the trends that are around that. Interestingly, he said that the majority of freelancers in South Africa are women. I think
Yes, he did.
I found that quite interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Women are resourceful, fam. I'm not being sexist or anything.
So, keeping in line with that, we actually have a lady in studio. We have Busi Selesho. I hope that I pronounced that correctly. And she is a financial wellness coach and the CEO of Isipo Sempilo HSC Solutions. She has been an international accredited money coach and speaker, and author of the book title very interesting, and I was like, I need to read that, because the title of her book is Money and Black People. She is an entrepreneur and also the founder of Money Breakfast. How are you, Wusi?
I'm great, and thank you so much for inviting me on this show. This is a great topic, and this is something that's very, very important.
Yeah.
Because a lot of freelancers don't have the right tools.
Yeah.
And they end up finding themselves with so much stress, and they are the ones that actually are not waiting to have jobs. They actually created jobs for themselves, you guys are saying. So thank you so much for inviting.
So as we begin our discussion, what are some of the things that people who are sort of entering freelancing should be prepared for? I think freelancing is unique from the point of view that you have no, can I say, job security?
Yeah. And if there is such a thing as job security, because maybe it's just,
yeah,
you know,
quote unquote.
Mm.
Very true. So what are some of the things that people should be, you know, sort of be looking out for and be prepared for from a financial point of view when they get into freelancing?
Yeah. So when you are in freelancing, the good thing is that you can choose what you want. You know, you can focus on what makes you happy.
Yeah.
So you could be a graphic designer, but you're like, I just only want to work with this type of graphics. I only specialize on this type. You don't have to do things that don't inspire you. So you have that leeway of going to doing all that is empowering you, which then means that you're gonna be good at it.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is that you find that freelancers then do not look at the business aspect of the of their work they're doing. So this is a, well, let's just take a singer. They are so good at singing and all they want to do is sing, but they are not looking after the administrative part of it, which is then where then you find that when artists die, they don't have a coffin, you know, they don't have nothing because they were just focused on their passion.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that have jobs are normally not having passion, but then they have all the sort of security thing. So freelancers, it's very important that you get the right people in your circle or in your team. So just think of it as if you had, if you were in a soccer pitch and you were the striker, you cannot be a defender and do all these things. So you need to bring in the right people. So have a very, and that's the one person that if you're a freelancer, you should never, ever, ever, ever not have a good text practitioner. So someone who's going to make sure that all your text is submitted the correct way. Because when you are freelancing and you are within a certain bracket of income, you can claim whatever from the government and the government will give it back to you because they are so appreciative of the fact that you are not a problem. Because you are not.
When you're part of the solution.
You are part of the solution and the solution that, I mean, what is the biggest problem government has?
Unemployment.
So you are solving their problems. So you can claim ice cream that you bought at 12 p.m. But when you're a business, you can't claim ice cream at 12 p.m. because they'll be like, no, my business hours is 8 to 5. So what is this about? Then you have to say, oh, my client was hungry. Then I thought, you know, da, da, da. But when you're a freelancer, you can do that. And you have that power.
So I then have to ask, what are some of the, because you've given us the text, the text thing, the fact that you need to surround yourself with at least one tax expert in your life so that SARS doesn't come and lifestyle audit you.
Oh, God.
I think before you get there, there's also an important step before. Make sure that your accounting stuff is in order.
Yeah. So the tax expert is going to make sure that all your submissions are in time, all your submissions are correctly done, you're claiming everything you supposed to be claimed, because a lot of freelancers don't claim everything. Then they're losing money.
So it's record keeping. So if you don't throw away all those slips and things.
And the good thing is that now we use our cards. So if you're a freelancer, you should be swiping almost everything. If you're not swiping, then keep the slips. But if you're swiping, now the thing is with businesses, they want the slips. But when you're a freelancer, you know, they'll be like, okay, we see it on your statement.
Okay.
So then that's why you need a tax expert. Then you need an accountant. But an accountant is really just about bookkeeping, and you probably don't need a bookkeeper at that stage. So you're good with a tax expert, and then you can have someone who's going to advise you on which policy, insurance policy to take. That is not something important as much as, because you could go and look at different products in the market and choose one. You don't need a broker that's going to charge you extra for that if you have the time to do it by yourself.
I agree with you there. And there's always like tools that you can use online to do like online software,
like
accounting,
insurance quotes. You can compare them. You can get your own funeral plans and all those. But you definitely need them, retirement plans and all that. You need to have those
retirement plans.
Yes, and that's the other thing that I wanted to say, that freelancers, because freelancers are the ones that are, they get paid the most. You know, a person in a job gets very little compared to
it's agreed on and it doesn't change.
So freelancing has that thing of, you know what, something is gonna come up, something is gonna come, and you live on that something's going to come up, something, and you find that, because I'm a money coach, I work with a lot of freelancers, and you find that someone, when they had a job, they were earning 30,000 rand a month, and they had a medical aid, they had all these things in place. They go on their own. They are, you know, making 150,000 a month now. But their medical aid is not paid. So
because the company used to do it on their behalf.
And even if they were not doing it on their behalf, apparently, because that's what I write about in my book, when you make the money yourself, you don't appreciate it. You appreciate it when it comes from Bus John.
Oh, I see.
Because a job will take care of me, so I'm taken care of.
Yeah.
I've seen someone who left a business that was making 150K a month, because this month it makes 150K, next month it doesn't make anything. But the thing is that you actually live on 30,000, so you have money for 6 months anyway, but then you don't have it.
Yeah.
And this person is like, but why? So I'm going back to a job, because a job, I have security. I know that I can go into hospital anytime, because my medical aid is, because this month there was no income, then I did not pay. But then how is it? Because last month you had more than enough.
Mm.
So there is a limiting belief that says we need a job. So if I don't have a job, I feel like I'm not supported. I feel like something might go wrong in my life. When you have a job, you're getting paid so little, you do stuff you don't like, but you are happy because someone is going to pay your salary, and it's just crappy.
I feel like Abusi is sort of echoing what Tabiso was saying from Safria, the fact that you need to consider yourself as a business, not necessarily just an individual.
Who just happens to be roaming around.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do you say to one? How do you? Okay. Let me step back. The business of, let's say, Hlengiwe, right?
Yeah.
Let's say Hlengiwe is the business, right?
Yes.
What type of things? Because you've mentioned tax, you've mentioned insurance, you've mentioned medical aid.
Mm.
What other things should Hlengiwe be keeping sort of a record of? Because I think the tax expert comes, like what Hlengiwe was actually talking about earlier on, that the Hlengiwe, that not the tax expert, sorry, comes sort of at the end. And for the tax expert to actually do his job,
you need to have done your part.
So what type of things should Hlengiwe actually be, as a freelancer, paying attention to and making sure that she's not being cheated?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
So she gets 150,000 rand a month.
That's a very good question. And things actually get messed up there. So the first thing is that you need to have a contract. Freelancers almost just be like, oh, you want me to do that? Okay, fine, I'll do it. And they go into their corner and they do it. They give it to you and then this person does not pay. So, because they are so excited about doing their work, they don't have it in email that you actually said my hour was going to be this much. I actually said this is going to take me 4 hours. But actually now I actually have sent you another email saying there was an extra 2 hours. And the person's like, no, we agree on it. So make sure that you are very aware of what is the agreement. What are you doing? How much are they paying you? How are they paying you? Do they know that how much is it that you need from them? So it shouldn't be like, I'll tell you. You know, friends will be like, I'll tell you. I'll just tell you whenever it's done. I'll let you know. No, don't do it that way.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that now most companies will try to get you at a cheaper price.
Mm.
So, which is the thing that you need to have a right energy with money, because most of the time you're the one who is giving this person the idea that you can give them a discount, or you are open for that discussion, or you're open to not be paid for 3 months and all that. So those are some of the things that I talk about in my book. You need to be in the right vibration that this person sees your value, not just what you're giving them. So when you're there, they're like, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful that Hlengiwe is here, and there's no way I want to be on her bad books. So I'm definitely going to pay her deposit now, and I'm going to pay her whole invoice by the time she's done with the work. No drama.
And I think the important part there, when you use the word value, is that the person needs to understand the value that they bring to the table themselves.
Yes.
So that the next person can.
Yes. The Hlengiwe is the only person that can make that person understand their value. So if Hlengiwe does not think this is a big deal, the next person is not going to think it's a big deal. It's going to be like, oh, Hlengiwe, do this thing. Didn't I pay you? Oh, Hlengiwe, man.
I just slipped my mind. I'm going to be honest. Another week passes, and then two weeks pass,
and then you actually are busy somewhere. You don't even ask for the payment again, and then 5 years later, you've not been paid.
Okay, I have to then ask a question, and I think this is something that businesses face. And since we're saying that Lengiwe is now a business, she will have to face, and that's like working capital. Because using the example you used earlier on, sometimes as a freelancer, you might make 150,000 Rand in a month, and then the next month, you might find yourself making like 5,000 Rand. So what type of things should freelancers be doing to make sure that they are prepared, that they capitalize on the highs, you know, those highs, but are also prepared and get through those bad months?
So freelancers, normally this is another big challenge that they have, and they don't see it as a challenge, is that they don't take the small money serious. So if I've done a job there for 2,000, I'm like, ah, that one is just 2,000. Yeah. Then another one is for 3,000. Oh, that one. I know, I'm waiting for like the 2 million rand project. So all this time, this freelancer is thinking, I'm not making money. But when you calculate that on a daily basis, they are making probably 5K.
Yeah.
But because it comes in bits and pieces, they never recognize that money, and they just don't put it away or use it correctly.
Yeah.
So what happens is that this person makes 150, not because it came as in one invoice. It came in as 1,000s everywhere. And then one day they find out that they made 150K that month, and they're like, what happened to it?
when the annual statement comes back and FNB says, you are rich, or whatever bank says, you made this much in the year, you're like, really?
No, you're lying.
Where, when?
Yeah. And that I know, it used to happen to me a lot. I mean, I used to think, why is this income statement saying I've made so many millions and I've never seen one of these millions, and it says I've made profit in millions? So that's what freelancers need to acknowledge, each and every cent. And when you acknowledge each and every cent, then you will put it in that place where you know everything comes into that place, and then you can pay yourself a salary. So if you need a salary of 30K, you then withdraw only the 30K. Even if you don't withdraw the 30K as a 30K at one in one day in a month, you get 10, you get 10, you get 10. But keep tabs on how much you're getting as a salary to your normal account. And if that account that has all the money, so let your clients pay you in a separate account, and then you have another account where you do your things. So you can calculate this. And then you can appreciate every cent that comes in, because all the small monies are what actually makes you.
Thank you so much. In the interest of time, right, so we have to bring the conversation to an end here.
Unfortunately.
But I'm just going to allow Wusi just to tell us very quickly, where can people actually get your book? That's the first thing. And secondly, when they want to, you know, find your services, if there's a freelancer listening and they're like, that Wusi person sounds very intelligent, I want those services, how can they find you?
So I have a website, busiselesho.com. That's where you can get the book, or you can just send me an email, busi@busiselesho.com. but if you go to busiselesho.com, you can get my the book. You can order it online, or you can order it on kindle.com. And you can also get my contact details if you want to session. So in the sessions, what we do is that we look at what you want to achieve. So let's say maybe you want to go on a holiday, you want to buy a car, you want to buy a house, and you just don't see where the money is going to come from.
Yeah.
And then we then go into a session where we say, okay, this is where the money is, this is how you're going to make the money, or you want to increase your earning potential. So you've been doing jobs for this month, then you're like, no, now I want to do bigger jobs. I want people to take me serious, so that you can be able to earn that amount. So how do we get you to be that person that they want, and that person that can earn in that level?
Yeah.
So my contact details are on the website, and my email is Busiselesho. So I'm also on Twitter, Busiselesho, on Facebook, Busiselesho.
Okay, awesome.
So that was us. We're talking to Busiselesho, who is the CEO of Isipho Sempilo HSC Solutions. More than anything else, she is a financial wellness coach, and she is the person who's gonna get you from 30,000 to 150,000 through planning, right? So with that, we come to the end of the show. I think your thoughts, your takeaways from the show as a whole.
I think it came from we'll see the part about being prepared for the money.
No, I'm saying Lingua doesn't play. When it comes to the money,
I need to be prepared for the money. I need to ask myself, am I ready?
so that when I receive this money, I do not squander it. Whether it comes in 1 rand, whether it comes as 5 rand, or it comes as a million, am I ready to make sure that I utilize it smartly so that I can get to do all the things that I want to do and make the kind of impact that I want to make in the world?
I think for me, the takeaway was just the fact that, and it's something, the first point was something echoed by Tabiso from Safria, and also said by Vusi, was the fact that you need to conduct yourself as a business. You're, in a sense, you're like a sole proprietor, and you have to make sure that you're keeping records, that you are making sure that you're claiming that your taxes are right.
Absolutely.
And all that. And then the last one was which was a big one for me, because I think I've seen it happening, because I am a freelancer myself, and I know that it does tend to happen sometimes. The fact that, you know, you can get, let's say, 500 rand here, 2000 rand there, and because of how sporadic and random it is, you don't really, you know, think anything is going on. But sometimes when you finally get that Excel spreadsheet and you finally do bracket sum, you're like, wow,
you're really shocked.
Did that happen? And what's crazy is most of the time, as Busi was saying, because the money's so random, you would have spent it. Right? That's the crazy thing. You would have spent it, and you wouldn't have taken time to actually save and plan and all that. So, you know, those are my takeaways from the show. Otherwise, let us know what you think. Let us know what you thought about what Busi was saying, what you thought about what Tabiso was saying, in terms of also our freelancers as well. If you agree with the things that they were saying, are you conducting yourself as a business?
With that, we have reached the end of the show tonight. Thank you to our amazing team, executive producer Elna Schutz, our producer Welcome Lishiba, our technical producer Kutlwano Sarame. Don't miss the Business Buzz same time next week for more insight into the world of business from myself, Hlengiwe Zondo, and Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaza, and the rest of the team. Take care.
The Business Buzz Podcast.